Chico listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m., hosted tonight by Adam Mose and myself, Tamara Wickma. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight is going to be a little bit different, but nonetheless, we are going to be talking about love in a new and different perspective, love and social justice with Adam Mose. So we are going to be talking love a bit from the Buddhist perspective, I'm sure, and we are going to be mixing in the pledge drive as best we can in the process of our sharing about love. So stay tuned for a very packed full hour of talking about love, love of the radio station, and love of social justice. We'll be back with you quite shortly. All right. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rallo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rallo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rallo's West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. until 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468.
Horror grips us as we watch you die. All we can do is echo your anguish cries. As all human feelings die, we are leaving. You don't need us.
All right, folks, welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. Love in the 21st Century. I should say welcome too, since we are just now starting Love and Social Justice. Thank you so much, Adam, for being here per usual.
It's completely my pleasure.
Fantastic. And we first want to jump off by, you know, acknowledging the pledge drive and talking about why we love KZFR so much before we get into our topic tonight. So, Adam, is there anything that is on your heart that you want to share about your love for KZFR at this moment?
Oh, I just remember when I was moving up here some 15 years ago, one of the important points about Chico was that it had its own community radio station. And I heard about it, you know, I was in the Bay Area. And it's like, okay, I could live in a place like that. You know, it was like an important hub of social consciousness and alternative stuff, you know, that just meant this was a vibrant community and would be a good place to relocate too. So it was like one of the reasons, actually, that and the awesome schools.
Fantastic. Yeah, that is a great reason to support the radio station that's still in progress. I mean, the radio station is nearly 27 years old, I believe. Mm. Ed Pittman told me it was on air in the 90s, but he joined before that. So 27 years of building community, of sharing with the people what the people want to hear, and still doing it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And that community members like myself and Adam can just get involved. You listeners can get involved if you so choose. If you have something that's on your heart that you're wanting to share, music, philosophical conversation, debate, sports. I mean, it's the topics are endless if you want to get involved with KZFR. So more reason to support the station. I was just talking with one of the volunteers and I realized I've been on the station now doing this show for nearly 3 years. Well, actually, it's been 3 years. Mm-hmm. What a crazy idea, you know, that they let me just keep talking about love.
It's a perfectly sane idea. It's the type of crazy that we need a lot more of.
Absolutely.
Because it's the real deal. That's what actually matters in the long run, in the big picture. You know, the type of life, when you're looking back at it, it's about the love, fully.
Absolutely.
Is you discover that's where it really counts. And all of the things we're trying to gather or the accumulate or the other parts of it doesn't really satisfy in the end.
It's very true. So if you are at a place where you're able to make a pledge, we are so happy to receive your pledge right now. And you can dial 895-0131. And that volunteers are standing by now to...
What was that number again?
895-0131. And that number will get you to a volunteer who can take your pledge and also offer you a thank you premium. There's lots of wonderful gifts, tickets, gift certificates, some KZFR swag, including hats and sweatshirts and
nice,
all the things you can dream of to wear your love for KZFR on your body. So thank you for your pledge ahead of time. So Adam, we are going to segue a bit here and talk more about our topic, which is love and social justice, and wanting to invite you to let us know where we're starting with that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes even back with our personal history. I remember meeting you out here with the Occupy.
Mm.
And that was our first connection. I was like, oh, this sister's really, you're turned on and part of that movement.
Mm-hmm.
But approaching it from this different angle, it wasn't like the the reactionary, I don't want to say, you know, the way people are motivated to engage with social justice or activist issues, you know, if it really comes from this space of love,
mm-hmm,
I think has so much more power and capacity for creating long-term sustainable change and building a more equitable social network, social fabric. So the basic premise, what I'm coming from, is saying that when we're coming from that space of genuine love, and then we review, we say, what is the, you know, I'm coming from a Buddhist perspective, the functional definition of love we always come back to from the Buddhist perspective is just wanting the happiness of the other, being able to put that as a priority and acting in a way that'll maximize that.
Mm-hmm.
So the love goes together with the compassion and the joy and the equanimity. These are like the qualities that are natural to every being. You know, it's like we have to learn bigotry, or we have to learn the different types of hatred and so forth. That's something that comes after, conditioned. Mm-hmm. But the basic tone of the individual is one of love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So when we're coming from that more directly, then the type of social activity and the social uplift that we pursue will be much more effective, will be much more lasting. It's not just a response towards something. It's genuinely like a building of something that has a real benefit, a real lasting benefit. So that's my premise about...
So coming from social justice, from the direction of love and building versus the common response, which is sort of fighting and destructing in a different way. Like, I think often social justice activists don't see that what they're aiming at is maybe a taking a part of something, but in a sense it is.
It is, and I'm also not knocking, like, when that has to happen, you know, there has to be some change like that. Then the way people are motivated for social justice, you know, a lot of times it can be the outrage and the, you know, something has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that even that, you know, it comes from that, when it really comes deeper from that space of the love, then it's not as polarizing. We get into a us versus them, and it keeps that as the overriding principle. That's like the actual paradigm,
mm-hmm.
Which is changing. That changes when mm-hmm. we look at the planet from, you know, the rings of Saturn. We're looking back, and they took that famous picture, and there's Earth. It's just one little pixel, pale blue dot. Like, everything and everybody has been on that little beautiful speck of light floating through immense darkness. When we look at it that way, we realize we are like a family of humanity, and we need to care for one another and look after one another
mm-hmm.
with that same kind of love and patience and respect.
Right.
And the Buddhist perspective is saying, like, oh, we've had rebirth. There's like been a past life before this one. There'll be another life after this one. That's just our interesting paradigm that we're working in,
mm-hmm.
something we adopt. But if you extrapolate that and you say, oh, if I had a rebirth before this one, then you look, oh, there was a rebirth before that one, and there was a rebirth before that one. And it goes back and back and back and back limitlessly. And that one's hard to get. That one's hard to get. There's no beginning. There's no onset. It's genuinely limitless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just like 20. It's more than just 200. It's like more than 2 trillion. Each rebirth we've had a different mother and father. And the mother in particular is like caring and sacrificing and attending to us. Whichever type of rebirth we had a mother who attends and cares. In all of these different rounds and rounds of rebirths, one time or another, each and every being you meet has been your own mother.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I use. This is the mindset I get to completely reduce the bias and the us and them principle.
Right. I just want to emphasize how powerful that is. And when you shared that before on a previous show, when we were talking about different areas of your life to focus your meditations on, and that practice of seeing your enemy as they were once your mother, it sort of really brings it down a few notches in terms of your feelings of hostility towards them. You're like,
right.
I mean, give and take some, you know, depending on your relationship with your mother. But for me and my mother, it's like, I would never want to hold those feelings of negativity towards her. Even, you know,
that's right.
They may be fleeting, but not ones that were sustained. And so I just feel like that's such a powerful meditation to be considering in the whole realm of social justice as well. Because in social justice, we think there's often an us and them. And in the us and them, it can never become we. It's like we are always in battle with each other, because over here, you know, on the A side, we're doing just fine. If the B side would just change a little bit, then we could get better. We're not actually working towards a common ground. We're working to overcome them, to overpower them,
which is in itself pretty old school paradigm.
Absolutely.
And the genuine, like, revolution is a new paradigm, a new way of looking at things. So just, we try this on. If we're getting towards more towards how things actually are, then how we're working with it is more well-informed and more effective. Even if I'm passionate activist for social justice and change, if I do so from a place of love rather than antagonism, I'm certain that my actions will be more effective. They'll have more actual lasting ways of changing the situation for the better.
If you're coming from a place of love.
That's right. And inclusion. And I go back to my rainbow roots. Rainbow family was a big part of my coming of age, and my link with the counterculture. And rainbow gatherings in themselves, entirely inclusive. When we set out howdy folks, which is the official invite, it's to all beings, anyone, everyone who wants to attend, you know. Of course, there's a culture, there's a weird kind of, you know, particular, you know, rainbow culture to the gatherings that you have to negotiate. But in theory, like the first impetus for it, it was the year after Woodstock. And Woodstock was like that too. The music was like everyone's included, you know. We're joining the beautiful festival of life and understanding that we're a family together on the planet. And we get over our individual egos to the extent that we're able to collaborate and respect, you know, show genuine respect to others and their needs that they need, you know, for what is it they want for their development and survival. And that's just the all a package. It comes all of a package when you're really coming from that space of love.
Yeah, and I think about, as we're sharing this, I think about just like the reality that a lot of people live in. That is, you know, the division of self and the division of their families and the division of their neighborhoods and the
division, subdivision.
In their subdivision, yes, of their communities. And so it's just, I want to have compassion for those that are listening to this and thinking this is like the craziest idea to consider loving or having love in this social justice movement for whatever cause that you may be standing up for, rather than fighting for, but standing up for, whether it's a water movement, whether it's for to end fracking, whether it's for the wildlife, whether it's for the trees, whether it's for building community, whatever it is about, to maybe the idea of loving the other person might be far-fetched for you, but just like having a bit of compassion for the people that are living this life. Because remember, they're behind these ideas, behind these crimes that some may consider them, crimes against the planet, crimes against humanity, crimes against future generations, is that there's people that have a whole different set of beliefs than you, that have been raised in a completely different environment than you, that are doing this. And so having compassion for them in their life and where they got to where they are, I think has, in my time, has helped me to see love in a different way for them.
And you're nailing it. This is something also goes back to my parents. They had this beautiful style of not blaming the individual, not shaming or blaming or labeling even the individual, but you can still take, you know, issue with their actions, mm-hmm. or with their particular belief set, their worldview, you mm-hmm. know. And here's another way to totally, again, level it down. If the seeing of the other, and if we really get, okay, these are all my mothers in past lives, that levels it. But then another way of leveling it is also saying, these other beings who are engaged in, you know, the activity, and I think we had this example before, like loggers, whatever, it's their job. In terms of their own mind and what they're doing, they think they want to reduce their own suffering. They want to try to create some happiness for themselves. That's universal, even that. You know, people who are engaged in activities that aren't properly informed and are actually causing harm in the long run, from their point of view, in their mind, they're thinking, I'm doing what I need to do, you know, I'm doing my thing that I think will reduce my suffering.
Right.
You know, maybe in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps to develop the compassion. And that's just it, is compassion. Because we say we want to share our love with mm-hmm. all our family. And there are some of our, quote, family members, you know, other members of the human species who are incapable of our receiving our love at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have that beautiful image. I always hold this incredible image of the soldiers holding the gun. They're in the protest in the 70s or the 60s, and he's got the gun. And then the activist is like putting the flower into the barrel of the gun. That one always gets me.
Mm.
Obviously, if you got a gun pointed, you can't, you're not set up to receive the love.
Right.
They're already armored. But our compassion, it goes through from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's we have that larger perspective. We know they can't directly receive our love right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we hold them in this space of compassion. And we know that eventually, slowly growing, you know, and learning and expanding, there comes that point where it's just joy. We just break through into this massive festival of, yes, we did it. We got the love going. And it's always better to come at it from that point, you know, where we've accomplished, feeling we've accomplished, you know,
yes.
what it is we've set out to do.
Not always as easy as we are articulating it now to do, but definitely a worthy practice is, you know, attempting to begin to understand how you can have compassion for those you have challenges with in your life and for those that have, you know, that are doing things that you don't agree to the planet and to humanity, of just understanding their humanness. I know at times it may seem like that's not the case, that's not, that they are not ones worthy of compassion, but I think that's what keeps us stuck mm-hmm. in this back and forth tug of war, is that we lack the ability to see the bigger picture and see beyond of how we can transcend this experience, instead of let's just pull them all over to our side mm-hmm. and then we'll just be happy. Well, not necessarily.
And we don't want just one side
right.
anyway. The beautiful diversity of the human family is because there's so many different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
We have this strength in the multivarious perspectives and the way that people are approaching it.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is already perfect.
Beautiful.
So,
We're going to prepare here for a break, so then we're going to come back with some more promoting for KZFR and letting folks know about why to call in and support KZFR radio station and Love in the 21st Century. Adam, do you want to save your poem or do you want to do it now?
Let's save it for when we get back.
Okay, awesome. So do you want to promote this or to promote this song that we're about to play?
Oh, this is a beautiful little remix by a DJ named Builder of a classic tune I think you might recognize.
Welcome back to Love in the 21st Century, talking about love and social justice with Adam Mose, getting real deep and compassionate with it. But of course, we are amidst the KZFR pledge drive, and we need to acknowledge and request all of you wonderful, amazing listeners to call in and support the station, because that's what allows us to stay on the air. So please consider dialing 895-0131. We have some great thank you gifts, and we have some amazing volunteers that are here to answer the phones for you, and we have one right here in the studio. Thank you so much. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. My name is Angel. I'm here volunteering the phone drive for Chico Certified Farmers Market.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your role there and what that organization does for our community?
Well, for those of you that don't know, we run the Saturday morning farmers market here in Chico. We also do a Wednesday morning, so that's tomorrow morning at Trader Joe's parking lot. And that's a year-round market now, too.
Nice.
And we operate three other markets in the county that are wrapping up this week.
Nice. So what other areas are they in the county? Just out of curiosity.
We have two in Paradise. We had our last one today. Mm. And then we have one in Oroville on Saturdays.
Great. Amazing ways to get access to good local foods.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. So did you see anything in those books there that you were checking out that you think are great thank you gifts that some of our callers should call in and pledge for?
I mean, for me, what really stood out is those produce bags.
The produce bags. Yeah. The KZFR produce bags.
Yeah. You know, Chico's got the bag ban, and a lot of people are really conscious about bringing reusable bags.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to produce, I see all the time they're using the plastic bags that our farmers provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually costs the farmers a lot of money to provide those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you notice how much of a pledge it was for the...
It's only a $25 pledge for that produce bag, which you'll have for years and years.
Years and years. And you can use every Saturday morning to get your produce from. You can feel good about being in alignment with the no plastic bag ban. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can support KZFR at the same time. It's an amazing win-win-win situation. Only $25 to do so. So, Angel, do you have any amazing stories about your first experiences with KZFR?
Oh, man. I bet the first time I really started listening, I was a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine was doing the teen talk that they had.
Oh, wow.
And I made a point to listen to her every week. And then it just kind of became habit. You know, mm-hmm. having these people you know, it really made it like a community experience.
Absolutely. Teen radio. Yeah, I'm not sure if that show is still on right now, but it is a great show to have, you know, just being able to reach out to the community and include teens in this here radio station and to, you know, hear a teen's voice to another teen. It's very different than hearing from the adult perspective what we think about life.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of eye-opening, too, having your friends do that. And they kind of gave me an idea of what it was really like being on the radio and having to learn all the equipment. And
right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting when people are like, oh, you have a radio show. What's that like? And it's, you know, it's not really something you can easily explain what that's like. And you never know what the idea is in their head of what they think that's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like talk line or something. It's similar, except there's not so many people, somebody else to push all the buttons for you. So you have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Angel. Is there anything else you want to share with us about anything that's upcoming with the Farmers Market or any tidbits of information that you'd like from listeners?
Oh, yeah. So this Saturday, we have our pumpkin carving contest and Winter Squash Fest. And the top prize can win 200 market bucks that you can use at any of our markets with any vendor.
Wow. So it's a pumpkin carving contest?
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin carving contest. That sounds pretty awesome. What do you have to do to enter?
Just bring your carved pumpkin down to the market by 9 a.m.
9 a.m. this Saturday. Mm. And when do you announce the winners?
Shortly after.
So same day you get to know if you are the winner or not.
Yep.
Fantastic. This is Chico Community Challenge right there at the finest. So Saturday, 9 a.m., bring in your pumpkins carved for a possible winning of 200 market bucks.
Nice.
What mm-hmm. a deal. It's like the best motivation ever to carve a pumpkin. So thank you so much, Angel, for sharing. And thank you, Gifts. Give us a call, 895-0131. Angel and another volunteer out there answering phones. Pledge the $25 for an amazing produce bag. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hymn of love, translated directly from the Pali Canon, Words of Buddha. Whoever is intent on his or her own welfare, after once they have seen the tranquil realm, they should be capable, upright, straight, and amenable, of gentle manners without any pride, should be content and satisfied with little, not over busy, moderate in living, calm in their senses, and endowed with wisdom, not being loud or greedy in the houses. Such a one should not commit even the slightest wrong for which the wise brothers or sisters may rebuke them. May all live joyfully and in safety, and may their hearts be filled with happiness. Whatever beings there exist, should they be weak or strong or otherwise, all, whether long, short, thick or thin, of great, small or medium size, invisible or visible, those that live near and those that live afar, those that are born or are currently searching for birth, may all be filled with happiness in their heart. No one should ever hurt another, despise another for whatever reason, and never should in wrath or hatred one wish another person pain. Just as a mother her own child protects with all her might, just so one may, towards all that live, develop one's mind in boundless kindness. Thus, toward all the world, one should unfold one's mind with an all-embracing kindness. Above, below, and round about, without depression, hate, or angry feeling. Whether one stands or goes, sits or lies, as long as one is free of sloth or languor, one may unfold this contemplation, which we all call a divine abode. Whoever, avoiding evil views, possessing this virtue and clear understanding, and has given up all the greed, never enters a mother's room again. This was uttered by the Blessed One.
Thank you, Adam, for sharing that piece that was uttered by the Buddha.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me. And thank you for all the love and support we get from our community, keeping this radio station going.
Absolutely. But is there any particular part of that poem that you feel really articulates where we are here at, talking about love and social justice?
Yeah. I mean, the way that begins before it is, it says, like, not easy is it to find any being in any time or this long round of rebirths that has not been your own mother, father, brother, sister, son, or daughter. That's actually like a before that. But that's that way of equalizing. And then this idea of just as your own child, the intense love and sacrifices one will make, you know, to make sure, to ensure the happiness mm-hmm. of that one, to be able to open that out to other beings, seeing them as your own children
mm-hmm.
that way, is a vast state of mind, a vast way.
Right. I think for one of the parts that really stuck out for me was about not wishing any harm to those that you have, you know, I can't articulate it as well as the Buddha did or as you just recited it.
You're
but
great. You
but
got it.
Not to have, not to wish any negative pain or will towards somebody that you have animosity or negative feelings towards. It's mm-hmm. like, that was like, my mind caught onto that one because mm-hmm. I know that reality. I know of like the reality of like, kind of struggling in a place of like, oh, I just want them to know. I want them to experience what I'm experiencing or to mm-hmm. to feel what I'm feeling and mm-hmm. not really seeing it like that it's wishing harm. But mm-hmm. in a sense, it is wishing harm because it's wanting your pain to be, you know, moved to the other or to be felt by the other, and how that is actually not going to resolve anything.
The curious thing is we've even scientifically, folks have discovered these mirror neurons
mm-hmm.
that show you're in a pain, state of pain, others feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That the way you feel, it affects those around you.
Absolutely.
Profoundly.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is, if you want your own welfare, if you genuinely want to create your own health, there are certain states of mind that you can say, I'm going to actually try to let go of. And a hatred and a vengeance state of mind, turns out, you know, toxic for oneself.
Yeah, actually hurt. It's actually hurting yourself, and it builds more of those negative feelings within you towards mm-hmm. the other and towards yourself, really, when you realize that you and the other are inseparable.
Right.
So I was recently talking to one of my friends about this, and the idea about the reflection of, you know, we see in the world what we are internally experiencing, mm-hmm. and we see it everywhere like a projection until we become aware of what is really going on within ourselves that needs to change. But being amidst, you know, struggle and strife in my own life and like focusing so much on the mirror, like if those things would just change, like if this part could just fit mm-hmm. here, then it would mm-hmm. be okay and things would get along. So much to the detriment of myself, mm-hmm. Relationships around me, and the others that are in my life, because mm-hmm. realizing that I'm not actually looking what's causing the reflection. I'm yeah. looking at the mirror as though it's like, you know, visualizing myself, looking in the mirror, like trying to like brush my own hair, like in the reflection.
Can't work.
It doesn't work. It's kind of silly to like yeah. even consider the idea. But that's essentially what we do in life. It's mm-hmm. like we are continuously trying to brush our teeth in the mirror versus like, oh, right. I have to change my own perspective of how I'm showing up in the world.
That's right.
So and
I have to brush my own teeth.
I got to brush my own teeth. I can't brush the teeth in the mirror and have clean teeth. It just doesn't work. Even though it might look like I'm brushing my teeth in the mirror, it's actually not happening.
And that, in a way, suggests an often misunderstood aspect of the Buddhist worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we're looking at all things as a playing out of a reflection, that when we're really trying to look for an external, separate, objective reality,
mm-hmm.
it's unfindable. That the that allows us to take it all with a grain of salt, to take it all with a little bit of humorous. Rising, you know, it's this way of why humor is so important
mm-hmm.
in that way. It breaks the frame of reference, and we suddenly look at things in a fresh way. Even the silliest joke has this frame breaking mm-hmm. reference, and if it works, I mean, I look at things a little fresh mm-hmm. for that moment, and. That way of a child not attaching, you know, what's in this for me? How can I angle this? You know, that type of mindset doesn't set in.
Right.
And when you brought that metaphor of the mirror reflection, there's a whole bunch of other of these analogies where we can say the reflection in the mirror genuinely appears to us and we take it for being real, but then when you try to examine and say, is there something concretely there in the mirror that's it's something that appears to us but isn't really there.
Mm-hmm.
That is the metaphor, that's one of the metaphors for understanding this vast interrelationship we have. The interdependency is how things actually arise. Things never arise in a vacuum or separate
right.
from anything else. Everything arises because it's connected. The famous John Muir talking about nature, his quote is like, in nature, you go and you try to single one thing out and you tug on it, and it's like, oh, it's got lines connected to it, to absolutely everything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interdependence and an interconnectedness which underlies all of the phenomena. And if you're able to work with that, then you can make genuine change. Because things arise due to causes and conditions. Which we say, oh, that's such a terrible thing. Not really. If you don't provide the causes and the conditions for something there's no way that it can arise. So if we have a problem and we want to get it finished with, we go to the roots. We don't fight the superficial manifestation of a problem. We try to see what is its origins, how did this arise? And to do that, we have to look at it from many different perspectives, not just, you know, my first response, how it impacts me, but to look at it and see its causes and conditions. You get down to those causes and conditions, you just make a little change,
right?
And big things change.
And it's
the case also within. I'm getting to the point where I'm seeing, oh, my anger, my aggression, my speediness, it's no longer serving me. And I don't provide the conditions for its arising anymore, then it can't arise, it can't harass me.
Right.
And this is the ideal of the bodhisattva. So in the Buddhist tradition, there's these Buddha wannabes. It's like aspiring to that type of unsurpassable enlightenment. Then we approach it by degrees. It's not like something, bam, all of a sudden.
Right.
But the bodhisattva is like aspiring to that.
Right. And I think about what you're saying about the change and like the change in, you know, thinking about the change in the exterior of the environment, like, oh, focus on the change, that's got to change out there. But when we really go back home into our hearts and like, what am I willing to change? And we're no longer looking out there for the change. The conversation changes a little bit. It's like, well, almost like I don't know if I want to change. And it's like, wait, but that's really where the change really exists. And like to bring this back to like the bigger picture of looking at social justice, and we're talking about, you know, oil crisis, and we're talking about overuse of gasoline. It's like, how much are each of us willing to not drive or to use alternative fuel? Like, what are we each willing to do in order to get ourselves to a different future? It really changes the conversation because it's a real thing, supply and demand.
It's a very real thing, and it's as real as all of our collective minds are making it. So when we talk about social, so the society is made up of all the minds of the individuals that make up that society. If those minds change, then absolutely that society changes. And that's how society does change. When we look back, 200 years ago, even in our great state here, you know, you would think, oh, slavery is a good thing, or the institution of slavery. It was a good thing, people thought. And now it's completely eliminated, you know, at least in its overt, obvious form.
Absolutely.
And that means that the mindset of the members that make up that society have changed. They've gone past that developmental stage. And we no longer think, again, oh yeah, that would be a good idea to enslave other people and get them to work for us. No, it's gone. Similarly, there's these ways that we think are permanent and lasting that make up the institutions of our society now. But when the minds that make up that society evolve past those, that society changes. And those problems, as they are appearing to us now as reflections in the mirror, they don't have anything to cause that reflection. They go away.
Right. Change is upon us.
And within us.
And within us, exactly. So a way that you can be a part of that social justice change and support community is to pledge to KZFR. We are here nearing the end of our Love in the 21st Century episode, and Ecotopia is coming up next. But there are still volunteers standing by, 8950131, 8950131. You can pledge and get some amazing thank you premiums. There are KZFR hats that are black and white, beautifully designed. I believe you can see them on the website, kzfr.org. And there's also some amazing sweatshirts, both of which I have I've collected through premium. So they're worthy gifts to receive. $75 pledge for the sweatshirt and $50 for the hats. And there's also tickets to some shows that you can can ask the volunteers about, as well as compilation CDs. There's amazing thank you gifts to be had, as well as what Angel was sharing with us, which is the market bag, the produce bag. You can be behind the no plastic here in Chico and in California by getting this. It's $25 pledge. 895-0131. Thank you so much, Adam, for being here. It's always a pleasure to dance in the philosophical conversation, which is Buddhism.
Yeah, and to bring it back home in terms of loving action. Put
Absolutely.
It into effect.
Put it into action. That's where it's all at. So we are going to be going out here with some Rotary Connection. I am the black gold of the sun.
That you are.
You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Sandra, and I'm sitting in here for the Judys, and I've got some housekeeping really quick. Oh, let's play this. We'll go from there.
Hey, guys. Will Durst here with a few choice words about presidential wannabes trying to be funny. And those words are, God, no, please, stop. The day after the third debate at the annual Al Smith dinner at the Waldorf Astoria, the two major party candidates were both invited to tell some jokes. And to say the results were underwhelming is like inferring that gravel dusted with uranium flakes makes a lousy dessert topping. Donald Trump has the timing of an end table, and Hillary Clinton couldn't tell a joke if the life of a small Haitian child depended on it. Also, neither demonstrated any idea how to respond to being heckled. So, as a trained professional, it is my great honor to give the two a few classic lines to choose from, should the occasion arise again. Oh yeah? Well, if you're so smart, how come I'm gonna be president? I'm sorry, sir. Are you a Republican? I'll talk slower. Nice shirt. Somewhere in Peoria, there's a Pinto without seat covers. Is that your face, or are we celebrating Halloween early? Further proof why you shouldn't play football without a helmet. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Are you a Democrat? I'll talk slower. Can anybody here speak Quaalude? Excuse me, sir, your village called. They want their idiot back. Usually when people donate their brain to science, they wait till they're dead. Another example of why political consultants eat their young. I'm sorry, sir, the moron convention met yesterday in Jersey. Isn't it a shame when Hillary supporters marry? Do you talk to your third wife with that mouth? I understand a bus is leaving for your hometown soon. Why don't you and the Donald get under it? For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
All right. So I'm going to let you know that Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Downtown Business Association, supporting downtown Chico for over 40 years. On Monday, October 31st, Treat Street returns from 2 to 5 p.m. Almost 100 local shops provide Halloween treats for costume kids 12 and under in a costume contest with prizes. For a full schedule of what's happening downtown, visit downtownchico.com and New Earth Market, Chico's locally owned full-service natural grocery market, open at 864 East Avenue. New Earth Market offers grass-fed meats, deli, sushi bar, pizza bar, coffee bar using only organic milk, huge craft beer selections, wine, supplements, and more. Visit them on Facebook or at newearthmarket.com and discover why New Earth Market is the place to be naturally. All right, so I have a pre-programmed show. And here we go. Ecotopia.
New KZFR 90.1 in Chico, California. Listener-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Ooh.